Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
We're in our series called Identity, and I want to read to us our text from John chapter 10, verse 22. This is what it says. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I tell you, and you do not believe. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. That's going to be our text today. We're going to camp out there. I'm going to kind of be back and forth with our text and also kind of what we were talking about a little bit last week, try to bring it all together and, again, just kind of think through a little bit more on this whole identity thing. Let me say a prayer, and then we're going to jump into today's message. I am going to need 10 volunteers, so be thinking, okay, maybe don't be thinking while I'm praying, but then be thinking, is this maybe something I want to be part of as you look up here and see a bunch of mouse traps? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and praise for this moment, for this opportunity to get to share your word. I just pray, God, now for myself that I would, the work that you've done in me this past week and how you're moving to this moment, I just pray ultimately that I would simply share the things that you'd have us hear, not a word more and not a word less. And then, God, for us all to have our ears open, but not even just our ears, but our hearts open to hearing from you, God. May your spirit now fall afresh upon us, and may you work in a mighty way, Lord, and meet each of us right where we are and do the kind of work that only you can do, shaping hearts, changing lives. Do that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a couple of you to already say yes. If you've already said yes and want to come on up, I need you now. But I need a couple more. Core, come on up. Absolutely. Okay, you guys want to come up? All right, come on up. I need 10. Perfect. Sam's coming up. Perfect. Josh, come on up. Yeah, booyah. I thought I saw somebody moving over here. Come on up. Now, this actually makes me a little nervous. It's getting a little young here. It's okay. Who do we got? 2, 4, 6, 7. I need 3 more. Booyah. This is where perfect. Come on up. Need ya. Booyah. What else? We need 2 more. Awesome. Annette, come on up. Booyah. Appreciate you. Come on up. Yes, sir. Good morning. Okay. We got it. Awesome. What am I going to do here? Let me just look. Let's just turn the lights up a little bit for the some of this so that we can see some of this. We have some mouse traps up here, and they're set, and they're ready to rock and roll, okay? What we're going to do is 8 of you, okay, 8 of you are going to be, basically 8 of you are going to watch 2 mouse traps, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you guys, we're going to kind of set up a little something like this, okay? And I wanted you guys to just see this. What I'm going to have is go stand right over there by your 2. Perfect. Okay. And then we're going to do something like this. Okay. And then somebody, Court, come on over here. Yep. Perfect. You guys come on over. And then just pick one. And we're going to end up coming back here to, I think, something kind of like this. So go ahead and, yep. And then grab 2 here. Some of you just grab 2. Put them down on the floor. Okay. And what we're doing here is something like this. Get around 2. Perfect. This is going to be good. This is all going to be very Jesus-centered, okay? This is going somewhere. Perfect. I like it. Okay. Now, I need 1 very bold volunteer, kind of from over here. Like, you're bold. Bold? Shoes off. Shoes off. Not that bold? Who's bolder? Shoes off, Mr. Ben. Perfect. Okay, shoes off. I love it. Okay, right. Yep, shoes off, Mr. Ben. Stand back there. All right. Now, what we're going to do is, Josh, you're going to be with Mr. Ben. The rest of you need 2 sets of, yeah, pick your two sets of, I should have maybe talked to you guys ahead of time. But everybody, you're going to look this way, and you're going to be standing kind of by your mouse traps, okay? But then look this way. Sam, turn a little bit. There you go. There, look at me. Perfect. Okay, you guys are going to come right here. All right, here's what we're going to do. Ben, I'm not even going to blindfold you. I'm just going to trust you. You're going to shut your eyes, all right. Okay? What we're trying to do is we're going to get you to the other side of the room, okay? And that's all you're going to do is shut your eyes, and you're going to listen to Josh lead you through this maze, okay? Josh is going to lead you by saying, go right, come this way, do this. You can't, Josh, you can't touch Mr. Ben, okay? You can't touch him, but you can speak to him, okay? Now, the rest of you, your job is going to be simply this. You're going to say things to Mr. Ben like, come this way or go right. Your job is to try to get Mr. Ben to step on your mouse traps, okay? That's what you're trying to do. So let's see how this goes. Mr. Ben, let's say a little prayer over you. No, I'm just kidding. And this is going to be great. So stand by your two, and not yelling and those kinds of things, but you're trying to get him to come and step on your stuff, okay? Perfect. Let's spin you around a little bit. Shut your eyes. And, okay, perfect. Now listen to Josh as it goes. Go. Can't touch him, Josh. Yeah, I like it. Oh, that was close. Oh, no. Oh. And he made it. Give him a big round of applause. Awesome. All right, pick up your mouse traps, put them up on the table. Booyah. No, I'm just kidding. You guys go sit down. Give them all a big round of applause. Awesome. Awesome. Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's okay. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for your help. Hey, you made it, baby. Booyah. Nice work. So excited. You got your toes. Yeah, exactly. I like that. I can block out a lot of people. That's good stuff. All right, you guys are good. Yeah, that's great. No big deal. That's good. I got shoes on. Man, I love that. I don't know if you can see. Obviously, you can't see the best. You know, it's all down on the floor. But you got exactly what was going on there, obviously, right? And this whole idea of identity. Last week, we kind of were talking about this, right? We were talking about our culture, every culture, is teaching a way in which identity formation takes place. That's just the reality, okay? And that's any culture across time, or I mean, even now, and there's different ways identity formation takes place. Our culture, ultimately, and we really unpacked this last week, our culture essentially teaches us and it really runs through the individual kind of filter that our culture teaches us is so important. It teaches us that we're to look inside of ourselves, reject what others are telling you, okay? So somebody tells you this is the way your life is going to look or this is what you do. See, our culture celebrates actually rejecting that, not adhering to what maybe a parent tells you to do or what your teacher tells you to do or what. No, you do you. Okay? You actually, you look inside yourself and you begin to express out of yourself the things that you're supposed to just express. So you start to express this, you start to express this. And the more expressive you can be out of this kind of context of being an individual and individuality, okay, you just express and express and express and you just do you. You reject what other voices are saying to you. You just do you, okay? And ultimately what happens is you're supposed to, this is what our culture teaches, you're supposed to build out and find and achieve your own identity. That's what it tells you to do. It's on you to achieve and to figure out who you are. It's on you. Now this is an incredible burden okay, on our young kids. I mean, I think of a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid right now who's got to achieve his own identity and figure out who he is. That's an incredible burden. It's not that individuality, and I shared this last week, is bad in and of itself, okay? It's just that this way of achieving our identity is part of, it's part of your life more than you realize. And we unpacked this a little bit last week. Disney movies are built all around this. I mean, it's all about just you doing you, you being you. I brought up last week the Mulan, right? And we kind of saw two different cultures there, where one culture saying you do what the community around you is kind of actually telling you to do, and we celebrate when you're doing that faithfully. Our culture rejects that. We see that as slavery. We're like, no, you do you. You bust out of that. Get out. You do what you want to do. But this idea of identity formation, what ends up happening is it always comes back to you being the last filter. Oh, here's what I mean by that. You are the last filter who says, these things that I'm hearing, okay, I now have to decide if it's true for me or not. And so as the individual, you on your own have to decide if a voice or a sound or something coming at you or something you're feeling inside is true or not true. We end up having to be self-evaluators, okay, of what's true and what's not true all around us. This is taught to you, okay? This is just taught to you whether you like it or not. And there's kind of parts of this that starts to kind of seep into our lives, even if we might be Christians. And I realize there's a bunch of you that aren't believers in Jesus, and you still have questions about God and faith and all this kind of, that's awesome, man. We're so glad you're here. But even if you're a Christian, you're kind of like, I'm a Christian, I do the church thing. Listen, like this is our culture's constantly coming at you with some of this stuff. And as a self-evaluator, at the end of the day, you have to look inside of yourself and you have to say what's true or what's not true. Here's my question. Can you trust you? Can you trust you? See, our culture says absolutely. That's all you got. You gotta trust you. What else are you gonna go to? Say, I'm asking the question. I'm okay. Even just take Jesus out of this. Take this not be a sermon. Let's just talk kind of philosophy. Let's just talk. Can you trust you? Can you trust you? Think of this was explained to me in a really helpful way that I think could maybe help some of you. Think of like when you were 20 years old. Okay, when you were 20 years old and you looked back on your 15-year-old self. What did you think of when you're 20 and you look back on 15? What do you think about your 15-year-old self? You think, I was an idiot. Right? I mean, when you're 20 and you look back on 15-year-old you, you're like, I was a total idiot. Now, you go to like 35 years old and you look back on your 20-year-old self. What do you think? I don't know about you, but I look back and I'm like, I was an idiot. I was an idiot. And then, and again, it slows down a little bit, but if you live long enough, you keep looking back, right? And so ultimately, the big kind of conclusion is, we're all idiots. Right? I mean, the 50-year-old self looks back at the 30-year-old self, and blah, 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 and it's like, I was an idiot, I was an idiot, I was an idiot. And it's all through life, you're an idiot. But our culture says, you got to trust you right now. But we're like, wait a second. If I just think about it a little bit, I'm an idiot. Can I even trust me? That's huge. That's actually huge. You got to let that sink in. You got to kind of let the laugh of it kind of wear off and kind of, yeah, let's think about that a little bit. Can you really trust you? Can you really look inside and dig down deep to figure out who really you are? Is that what it's all about? You know, as I think about people that I've dealt with, and I look at situations where people have made choices in life, and I look at it, and I'm like, you are such an idiot. And if you were to take 100 people And you're to line them up and you're to say, okay, that person right there, the decision they're making, is it a good decision or a bad decision? All 100 would say, total idiot. But that one person is doing what they're doing, making the choice they're making, because they're like, oh, I know exactly what's going on. I know exactly what's got to happen. You guys don't get it. You don't understand. And the rest of us are like, dude, are you kidding me? What are you doing? Come on. Do you not deal with that stuff on an every single day basis? I mean, most of us, that are married and you're the woman, you know what I'm talking about. No, I'm kidding. I tried to go to the woman. I'm trying to help Gary. But you know what I'm saying? We see the decisions people make and we're like, everybody else sees it, but you can't. Because you're blind to it. And as I look at Mr. Ben walking through these mouse traps, he's blind. He's got to have Josh. He's got to have Josh talking to him. I mean, if you guys could have seen up here, there was one moment where it was like, here and now, baby. And you're just about to, lose a toe. Which I don't know. Does our insurance cover that? I don't actually know. I don't actually know that. But as I think about that, I'm like, man, that's kind of like life. Like, we're so blind to stuff. And your rejection of this sermon is actually proof of our culture and what it teaches you. So if you're like, yeah, this is stupid. Let's go to Chewy's a little early this morning or something. Let's go, to Gringo's or something. And you're just like, this is stupid. Seth doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. That makes sense to me. That's exactly what our culture teaches us to do. Reject what I'm saying. You do you. So the question is, can we trust ourselves? We can't trust ourselves. Listen to the things we hear. Listen to the things we hear. You're fat. You're fat. You're ugly. You're ugly. You don't matter. If only you were like your sister. If only you had been successful. You're rich. You're poor. You're this, you're that. You're single. You'll always be single. You're divorced. Your mistakes are too big. You've screwed up too much. See, we hear some of these things. We hear some of these trappings by the enemy as he's trying. That's all he's trying to do is get us to step on a trap, to get caught up in something that just will just stop us from moving forward. And he just wants us to get our eyes off the voice of truth, off the voice of being able to see, and just he doesn't care which trap it's in. He doesn't care. He just wants you in one of them. And he'll start to lead us and guide us. And our culture teaches us that then you have to make the decision. You have to be the one to decide, is this true or not? And so somebody tells you you're ugly, or somebody told you that, or your dad. Maybe it was even an accident. Maybe he didn't even mean to. I mean, maybe he didn't mean to say the, if only you were like your sibling. Maybe that just came from a place of, his own brokenness. And he actually doesn't even mean it. But 30 years later, you think about that. And it's done things to you. It's changed you. It's worked in you in different ways. I mean, maybe it's just if only I could have been successful. I've worked my tail off, and I just never had that breakthrough. I never broke through, and it just I don't feel good about where I am today. Maybe it's a disease. You know, just literally 2 days ago, my dad found out that he has colon cancer. And he just found out 2 days ago. And it's been really interesting just as we've been processing through that. One of the things that is just incredible is to see his faith and my mom's faith. And I'm just, are you kidding me? As sucky as it is, and of course we're praying for good news with future scans, and maybe it's not that bad and stuff, but you know, obviously it's not good right off the bat, but one of the things we were talking about the other day is, this is not my identity. I am not, at the end of the day, boil it all back, cancer-ridden guy. See? But that's this voice that starts... We start to hear that. It's like, you have cancer. I've never been told that. I've never heard that, and some of you have. And that's a crappy doctor's visit. And we start to hear that, and we start to internalize that as like, maybe this is who I really am. Maybe I am cancer person. Maybe I am divorced person. Maybe I am the sum of all of my situations that have come into life, or some of my brokenness. Maybe this is who I really am. Is that true? Can you believe that? Can you trust yourself when you're saying those things and you begin to internalize some of those things? Is it true? My dad, I think of my dad. This isn't even on the screen. This week, I don't have many on the screen. It's been one of those weeks. But Psalm 112, when my dad, I just thought of this right away, this text. The righteous person is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. That doesn't mean there's not tears and crying. It doesn't mean there's not lament. There's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. Okay, so it's okay to cry and mourn and sorrowful, all that stuff. But those things have happened and those things have taken place. Just last night, I get another call. Your aunt died. Aunt Kathy was awesome. I love my aunt. You know, she was awesome. Just annoying. It's almost annoying. And it starts to, because I actually believe this stuff, like I really believe this stuff, and I believe the Christian worldview, it just keeps driving me to like, come on, Jesus, come back soon. That'll be sweet when all of this just kind of returns soon, Jesus. And in the meantime, may we begin to, no matter what comes our way, keep building on the rock that doesn't move when the waves come. Doesn't mean you can't cry. Doesn't mean it's gonna. I gotta be strong for everybody. No. You can be honest and share and cry and mourn, but I will trust the Lord. I'm gonna keep trusting in Him because my identity. It goes back to last week. How did I have us leave last week? I had us leave with this next year. Every single day, what I'd love for our church to do is wake up. And the first thing you do before you grab your phone, the first thing I want our church to do this next year is to say to yourself, I am a child of God. That's who I am. We're telling our kids this. We're telling them every night, hey, Trax, I love you. Dad loves you. Mom loves you. But guess what? Jesus loves you even more, and you are His child. You are His child. My dad might die. Your dad might have been abusive or a pain in the butt. We have a heavenly Father who does not move. There's an identity there that you can't take away. Even when all the other stuff starts to kind of flip away and fade away, this one doesn't change. You need a guide. Today's message is really simple here, folks. You need a voice. You need a voice, a guide who you can trust. There it is. I mean, this isn't rocket science. You need a voice. You need something. You need a Josh who comes alongside and says, left, 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 right, 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 left, 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 right, 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 right. Nope, a little bit straight, a little bit to the side, this way, this way. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. today, what do I want you to... Are we listening to Jesus? Do we hear him? Do we hear his voice as he's talking to us? Because if not, what I can tell you, you don't even have to be a Christian to believe this. There will be traps. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who we want you to, this is who you are. You need to decide. You get to decide. You pick who you are. You express yourself. You do you. Look inside yourself. Keep looking inside. Figure it out. Figure it out. It's all on you. It's all on you. It's all on you. And Jesus is saying, stop. Rest. In Ephesians, the entire book of Ephesians in the Bible starts with, he seats us next to him. It's from a place of rest. That's what today is all about, a Sunday of gathering together. It's a place of sitting. This is why we're going to buy these chairs, by the way, because we feel like they're actually pretty good chairs. Maybe not. Oh, no, I just got some looks like, get the good stuff. I don't know. We're getting a good deal on them, folks. We want you to just sit and rest in the presence of the Lord. And to just hear from him. We want daily you to wake up and open this baby up and just, God, what do you got for me? Feed me, teach me, show me, help me. I got this decision coming up. Do I take this job? Do I do this job? I just heard this news. My sister just called. I really don't want to call her back. My brother's over here in this situation. My family's here. Our marriage is in this situation. He wants to talk to you. He's speaking. Do we hear his voice? Are we listening? Are we actually so busy that even if he was talking, we couldn't hear him? That's scary. That's actually kind of a freaky part of this message, quite honestly. We need someone we can trust. The question in the end comes down to, can you trust Jesus? That's if you're a believer, you're like, you're kind of past that one. You're like, yeah, I can trust Jesus. If you're not a believer, that's a question you got to wrestle with. And I get that. And there's time for you to just kind of wrestle with that and think about that and process that. Mm-hmm. Can I trust this Jesus guy? Who he says he is and what he's done for me? Can I trust that? That I really am his child and that I am his sheep? I'm just called to follow him, listen to his voice. Is there really enemies and traps around me that are trying to suck me down? I mean, we see this as suicide increases, suicide rates, people in depression increase. Everything bad seems to be increasing, right? Why? Because our culture and people don't know how to get out. They don't have a voice that's of truth. What does God say about us? He says stuff like this. God says, you're my creation. I've created you. You're mine. He says stuff like this. You're my child. You're my child. Come sit in my lap. He says stuff like this. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. I want to bring you forgiveness. I died for you. I went to the cross for you. He says stuff like this. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you are right now. I have plans to bless you. I have a future for you that I know. I get it. You can't see it here, Seth, yet, but just trust me. I know where we're going. He says things like this. These trials are temporary. Remember 2 weeks ago my sermon with the toilet paper? The foreverness. Do you remember that? How temporary these things are? Dad having cancer, man, if he's got to put up with this for 2 years or 10 years or 5 years, in the context of eternity, it's a little blip on the screen. See? He says things like this, I have eternal life for you. He says things like this. He says in our text, nobody will snatch you away from my hand. You can't be snatched away. He says things like, you're my sheep. I mean, just all sorts of good stuff, guys. He speaks to us. And if you need to take out a little sticky note and write some of these things down and plop them up on your mirror at home and plop them up on your desk at home and do some of that stuff to remind. I have that. I got my little sticky notes all, you know, all over. And just to remind myself, okay, yeah. And again, wake up each morning. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. There's going to be things that will come my way, and maybe another ant will die today. I don't know. Already 2020, is for me, hasn't started off that great. But I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Let me pray for us today. Jesus, I thank you that you have died for us, that you've went to the cross for us, that you rose from the dead, that you're alive and well, and you're working even like this morning. Your spirit is alive and well. You are working in our hearts and in our lives, and I thank you for that, God. Thank you for what, you know, $18 in mousetraps can do, Lord, as it just begins to reveal to us how important you are, how much you love us and care about us. God, I don't know where every single person is in this room right now in terms of life. And as they continue to wrestle with that, just meet them there, Jesus. God, I just, for me this morning, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where I have said things about myself that are not true. Where I've tried to own my identity. God, where I've tried to make it about whether I'm successful church planter guy or good, am I a good husband or a good dad or am I a good friend or I'm the son of a guy that's now got cancer. All that stuff, all those voices we start to hear and we start to internalize. I just this morning, I want to just repent of that and just acknowledge where I know I've fallen short, where I've leaned into pride or where I've, whatever. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. I thank you that you teach us, you speak to us, that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, and you do bring forgiveness. And thank you for that forgiveness that each one of us in this room right now can hold on to and receive, that you love us. You do forgive us. We're forgiven children of God. Are you kidding me? It's the best. It's just the best. God, let that not be a message we just hear today. Let that be something we take into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just keep working, Jesus. Keep working in each of us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, so much. Amen.